Free Fire Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:05 on April the 6th. And it looks like it's going to be a good day today. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And you can hear us everywhere in the world. If you just go to KCNR1460.com, because we stream, and you can also join our chat room there. That's right. Join our chat room. Say hello. Jump in with the KCNR chat pack. And I'm joined today, of course, by Bad Bob.
And good morning, sir.
Hey, Bad Bob, since Linda's on assignment this morning, tell us what the weather's going to be.
Well, enjoy today while you've got it. Mostly sunny, high near 62. Tonight it'll be looking for scattered showers. The low right around 39 degrees. So, as we said, winter not done yet. Thursday, chance of thunder showers and basically some unsettled weather. And mountain travel could be a little bit of an issue. Right now, 44 degrees downtown. And the weather report always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
That's right. Anselmo's is going to have a music this weekend on Friday. And you need to get reservations for that. Before you go there, so you got to give them a call and to make sure that you have a seat for the music, because it's always great. It's always wonderfully done. And the food, of course, is just outstanding. Okay, like I said, Linda's on assignment this morning, but let's talk a little about what's going on around here. You know, we're hearing right now that the government could shut down. And some people say, well, you know, there's this other, which country was this? Was this Norway or something where they were shut down for 186 days and everything prospered? But right here, perhaps, what happens? Is it going to be damage to us? Well, here's some facts. The 17 government shutdowns since 1977 have all been literally blips, with the longest lasting 21 days from December 15th, 1995 to January 6th, 1996. So what happens when it shuts down? Does everything quit? During the 21-day shutdown, less than 15%, that's right, less than 15% of the federal workforce was actually idled. National security and public safety operations continue. So do benefit payments, medical care, tax collection, border protection, prison patrol, crime investigation, and air traffic control. The Postal Service and the Federal Reserve will both be open for business because they generate their own revenues. Even though you might say the Postal Service doesn't generate as much as it spends. Government museums will close. You can't apply for a passport. Tourism takes a hit. But the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, which sets the basic rules for shutdowns back in 1981, stipulates that agencies continue to conduct essential activities to protect life and property. Any employee deemed essential, that's from TSA to Social Security check writers, is considered exempt from the Anti-Deficiency Act, which prohibits the acceptance of volunteer services and forbids federal officials to assign. Blah, 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 blah. What it means is it's not going to shut things down. It's going to slow things down. You might, some things, if you're putting in for a passport, because right now you need to get that passport to head to Libya, you know, you might not be able to get it. But everything else goes. You're still going to get your checks. Warriors are still on the wall. The people at TSA are still there to harass you when you're trying to go through the airlines. All that stuff is still there. And then what happens when you resume operations is that employees are paid retroactively. But that doesn't necessarily mean that doesn't, and that was in 1996, doesn't mean that it will happen, but this is what happens when it shuts down. Less than 15% for the longest shutdown, which was 21 days. Okay, feel better? I knew you would. Hey, we got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott. This is KCNR 1460. This is Free Fire Radio. Yeah, welcome back to the Danger Zone. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today. 7:13 in the morning. It's April the 6th. You know, a couple other things I want to talk about before we bring on our first guest. We've got some great, you know, we're going to be talking, of course, City Council, and Gary Cadd, who is our guy at the City Council, is coming, you know, is here. We're going to talk about what happened last night. It's front page news. It's everywhere you see it about. We're talking about privatization. We're talking about other things that are happening, rolling back fees. Now, Record Searchlight had a great, I thought, a great editorial yesterday. The one today is one we've already talked about dropping the criminals back onto us, into society, without any money to take care of this. You know, I find that criminal. You know, you want to talk about criminals? Jerry Brown, I find that criminal. If you let this happen, and you send these people back to us without any money to take care of ourselves, what you've done is, and I, you know, in the record search, I hit this one pretty good too. The only things that are going to be, only revenue you're going to see is gates, bars, and guns. As people are going to start saying, wait a minute, you think that, you know, you're not going to protect us, we've got to protect ourselves. So what's that mean? That means you have to take care of yourself. That means you have to harden your property. Why should you have to do that? Why should you have to harden your property? Because this state spends billions and billions on crap and then turns the idea of turning prisoners loose back into society here without the supervision that it should have or the money for our police departments and our sheriff's departments and the jail to take care of it. That, to me, Governor Brown, is criminal. You said you won't do that. Okay, well, we'll watch. You say you won't do this unless there's funding available. Okay, well, let's watch. We'll see. You know, I bet you one thing, though. You won't have a halfway home. You won't have an independent living house. You won't have these guys living across the street from you. And if you did, who cares? Because you've got guards all around you. Anyway, that's just a thought that just came into my mind.
Keep something in mind.
Yeah. Okay, the other thing, too, is this. Doug LaMoffa sent out something yesterday or the day before where he's going to introduce some legislation that says, hey, you know what? Taxes are onerous, and we're taxing our people too much now. But if you feel like you aren't paying enough taxes, how many times have you heard this? Well, you know what? I wouldn't mind paying more taxes to the government. Well, guess what? He wants to pass a law that says you can do that. If you want to volunteer to pay more taxes to the California government, I hope this piece of legislation, which won't, I hope it passes. It probably won't, but I hope it does, because then all of you people out there said, you know what, we don't pay enough. Then you'll have your chance. You can send a check in. If you want to, you can, you know, say, this is for me, you know, this is because I'm not paying enough taxes. I think I should pay more. And by the way, here's another $2,000 for Carl Bott. Just put that on there, too. Just a little note, you know, too, so that maybe they'll take it off mine. In any case, this won't pass either. Okay, the last things, of course, are if I can find it in my paper here, in my you know, where it says is, you know, we were talking about, you know, I already talked about the how the budget crisis happens in the Sacramento, yeah, but in the feds, that if that fails, you know, if the government shuts down, it's not really going to have that huge effect as some people think. Okay, now, big thing here in Reading, of course, was the city council meeting last night. And here's Gary Cadd. Gary, good morning.
How are you this morning?
Okay, now the front page says that they're going to reduce or push back fees or put a moratorium on fees for builders. Is that correct?
Yes. What has happened from 2000, the fees were $8,863, and they've increased now to over $33,000. And there was a 4.2% increase in January. And they're looking to roll back the 4.2 to stimulate some building and to help the builders so we can get things back going again. They actually didn't take any action last night. They are going to put together a new study to see just how much they possibly will cut, and then they'll come back at a
future. Because a lot of the there's less construction, and it's less, you know, it's not just less construction, it's for less money, too. Mm. You know, the other thing, too, is I'm talking to one of the people here that, you know, they have a store which depends on construction. And so what they're seeing, you know, they looked, and this was last year, I believe, when we talked to them, but there were no new construction permits for this entire month. It was just rehabbing houses. Mm-hmm. Now, what's the a fee for a new three-bedroom, two-bathroom, 1,800-square-foot home? Is $34,000.
Yeah, just short of $34,000, correct.
It says here $34,688. Mm-hmm. So let's just say $34,000. Yeah. That includes school fees, all right. But $34,000 to build an 1,800-square-foot home?
Yeah, I think the school fees are $4,455 is the school fees in that amount.
$4,400.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just say $30,000 in fees to build a house like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody think there might be something wrong with this?
Well, the fees have escalated tremendously, and that's the reason why to go through and do another study to see just what is really necessary. And so we're going to have to wait and see what the study is. But I think it was a very well done presentation by Mary Machado and Jerry Wager and Kent Dagg came forward last night and they were speaking. And you can see where the profits in building have dropped off tremendously. And
And that used to drive our tax base here and everything, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons we're having problems. Plus the huge unemployment problem. You know, people can talk about all these other little things. That, you know, like, oh, gosh, we do this, you know, we need more of this. You know, the bottom line is employment. We need employment for our people.
Right,
and then if you have employment, you won't have all these problems.
All that adds up. You know, you talk about this, you talk about that, over here, the fees, you know. It all adds up to where we're having one heck of a problem is where we're at.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we want to talk some more about that. We want to talk privatization. That's a big thing because I've got some questions in my mind about this. This is Carl Lindebot. This is KCNR 1460, and this is Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, 7:23 in the morning, April the 6th. Carl Lindebot, Linda's on assignment. Well, we got Bad Bob, we got Gary Cadd. Hey, our phone line's here, 605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting it. KCNR1460.com, and we've got, Angel and Coach Bob and Sharon and Valerie and just any number of people over there. And one of them, Coach Bob, sorry about your dog with the shaved belly. Obviously something happened. And other people are talking about with the idea of Brown turning loose criminals. You know, he said he wouldn't unless he has the money, but, you know, Angel's talking about pink guns and big dogs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this whole thing is going on that is just... Just, you know, one little thing after another. You know, it's like the screws are getting tightened down each day.
I was speaking to Chief Hansen last night after the meeting. We were talking about the funding, and I believe it's AB 109 that the governor passed, but promised he wouldn't sign it unless there was funding. But he passed it, and there is no funding.
He signed it. You know,
he
said he would not implement it though unless there is funding. But how do you sign a bill and say, now I'm not going to implement it?
With a good conscience, I don't know. But the thing with it is, you signed the bill
then
turn around and it'll be an unfunded mandate back to us is where we're going with this whole thing.
Well, no, what it is, it's a lever for the Republicans to agree with them to extend taxes and all these things. When you look at it, it's just another way. You know, it's like the health care law. They're changing the health care law. There was a part of the Obama's health care law that was just horrible. Everybody hated it. And that's where they wanted to have that requirement that would have forced millions of businesses to file tax forms for, you know, anybody making over $600 a year for vendors.
Mm-hmm.
It would have cost millions of dollars. Well, everybody hated this thing. So... The Republicans and the Democrats handed him a bipartisan bill, and the Senate voted 87-12 to repeal this, which was bright. So he's going to sign that. But see, the whole thing had nothing to do with health care. It had to do to paying for the new health care law. So now they're going to require more families to repay tax credits intended to help them cover insurance premiums. Now, this is a tax they're adding on to this.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's something else. It's just, no more tax. You know, I'm not going to raise taxes on the middle class. Lies. It's just lies. I mean, how can you do all these things and not raise everybody's taxes? You know, everybody I'm talking to that's going to CPAs this year for April 15th, they're saying, wait a minute, I'm paying more money than I used to. Linda's parents, retired people, 80 and 78, are paying more in taxes this year. Why? They're not making more money.
But a lot of it, too, is that we're not taxing anymore. They're calling it a fee, which is a tax.
A duck. If it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's got feathers like a duck, it swims like a duck, it's a duck. Okay, let's go back here to Reading. It just, you know, it's just these things that people actually think that we're stupid. I mean, that we will just keep continuing to, please hit me again.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, what are we talking now about we've only got 3 or 4 minutes. Let's keep talking about the building fees here. in the permits. If we're making less money, which means less taxes, is there any chance at all that they're going to reduce, you know, at least from that $34,000 for a three-bedroom house, any chance of reducing that $10,000? And what's the impact on that as far as our economy? They must be talking about this. And would it put more people back to work?
Well, the thing with it is, you don't really know if it's going to put people back to work, because even though you lower them, you don't know how many people are going to start building new homes, new buildings.
Yeah.
They were talking about single-family residents last night, is what they were talking about. But the thing that boils down to is that at the moment, we need to do whatever we can do, and the building community is coming to council and asking, can we lower these fees? It gives with the increase in fuel costs, the increase of material costs to build a new home, the percentage of what the percentage of what they're going to the builders are going to make has been decreasing. So what we have to do is we have to look at where we can make it more acceptable for the builders to build and to move forward. We've lost, I don't know, 4,000 homes a year being built. We're down to in 500, 586, I think it was, something like, in that general neighborhood. So we're way down, and have the impact fees been going up roughly 4.5% every year. That they've gone up several hundred percent since back in 2000, when they were 8863, up to 34,000 now.
So 8863 when?
In 2000.
In 2000, the building fees were $8,800, and they're $34,000 now.
$34,000.
Did this come out, I hope, last night?
Yes.
What did people do? Did their jaws just drop? Did they just go, how did we do this? Who did we vote for this? Or does the city council do
every year, the city staff brings forward an impact fee increase in January.
And our city council just went along with it.
And the city council has been going along and raising as we go along, yes.
Okay. Well, $8,800 in 2000, and it's $34,000 now.
Mm-hmm.
And $4,000 of that goes to schools and stuff. So
right.
Probably the state's got its beacon here, too, I imagine, right? Everybody else. You know, Gary, makes you wonder, huh?
Well, it does make you wonder. The thing with it is, you know, when things are good and they're rolling on top, and boy, you're making money, you don't stop to realize where money's going.
Yeah. And then we just keep spending it, and which is where we are at right now. Okay, bottom line. All right, hey, we got to take a break here. We got the news, and when we come back, we've got some people on the line. And at 8 o'clock, we've got Lieutenant Jeff Wallace going to come in and talk about gangs, which is probably a good thing to be talking about now. Carlin and the Bot, KCNR 1460, and this is Free Fire Radio. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is April the 6th. It's 7:34 in the morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. They put in Dish Satellite, Doug Tooley does. It don't call the 800 number, my friends. 800 number gets you nowhere in this hemisphere. You'll be talking to some guy who says his name is Mary, because that's just what he's reading. He called Doug Tooley at 244-1988. They guarantee their work. He's a local guy. He's a veteran. The money stays here in town. That's B&T Satellite, Doug Tooley, 244-1988. Okay. Our guest is Gary Cadd, but we've got a caller here, and we're going to be talking healthy things. Is that right, Amy?
You know it.
Oh, look, you know, you sound so happy in the morning. Get over it.
Happy Friday, Carl and Dad Bob.
Well, happy Friday. I thought it was Wednesday, but that, you know what, made me feel better, because tomorrow then is...
Oh, it is Wednesday. Oh, look at that. I'm flying through the week.
You've been doing too many bench presses there, Amy.
I have. See, I've been working out since this morning, so I've been on the go.
So what's our health tip?
Hey, I just want to let you guys know some little extra tips for getting that fat off. One, make sure you're getting enough calories throughout your day. I see so many people, Carl, that don't eat until the evening. They barely eat throughout their day.
You know, that's bad. That's bad because, you know, your sugar drops and you start making bad decisions there.
Yeah, and think about, like, turning on a light switch. It's like turning on a light switch for your metabolism. You got to start that food in your body. Those calories start revving up the metabolism and get you going.
Okay.
Also, drop the bubbly, guys, the soda. Even the diet sodas, they can cause water retention and bloating. And that's not something you want if you got to fit into a nice, slim outfit. Make sure you're getting enough protein. Dump the butter for olive oil. Get some good, healthy fats in your body. Avocados, olives, nuts. Those are good fats. Every day, try to get a little bit of good fat. Make sure, if you don't like water, that you're getting some fluids in, like, green tea. Green tea is a great way to boost your metabolism and has great cancer-fighting properties in it as well. Make sure that you don't over-portion your plates. I think that's another problem people have, is portion sizes really aren't that big. I mean, if you think about a serving of rice, it's only a third cup. And most people eat way more than a third cup of rice when they're having rice.
No, say it isn't true.
Remember, fresh is always going to be better over dried and canned. So get fresh more than you get fresh as much as you can.
That's right.
Don't miss a meal. It's not okay to miss a meal. I am not okay with people skipping breakfast. You've got to get those meals in. Please don't let more than 5 hours go by without eating, because then your body is going to drop into starvation mode. And then you're not going to feel hungry, but you're going to be slowing that metabolism down. And, hey, when you're working out, if you can talk this easily, the way that we're talking to each other, you're not working hard enough. So you got to bump up that resistance. And finally, when you're in the gym, if you have to get both cardio and weights in on the same day, make sure you get your weights in first so you have the energy to push those weights. And then your cardio afterwards so you get more of a fat burn.
Okay. And if you don't do it, Amy will twist your leg into knots.
That's right.
And, you know, Amy Palko's from Adamson's Peak Performance. And I tell you, it's a great place to work out. And Amy's attitude is just like everybody else's down there. What can we do to help you? You know, and that's super. And right now we're working on strengthening core and all these balancing things because of Dancing with the Stars,
that's
North
right.
County style. Yep, and that's in July 9th. And let me tell you something. I'm not ready for that yet. Kathy Babcock is taking me out here next week, and she's going to start twisting me into other knots that you do. Anyway, okay, Amy, thanks a lot. Adam from Speak Performance.
Okay, right. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Bye-bye. Okay, Gary, let's start talking privatization. Let's take a couple of minutes to talk about what was said last night, and we'll take a break, and we'll come back in and get into it deep.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, to start off with, the issue last night was they were looking at privatizing 4 skill sets within the city. Reading Electric Utility Customer Service Call and Walk-In Center, Public Works Water Treatment Plant Operations, Public Works Wastewater Treatment Operations, and then the Public Works Traffic Signal Maintenance. All right, the main idea of doing privatization was to save money for the general fund. The wages that come out of the general fund. These 4 skill sets that I've named off here are utilities. They're paid for by the utilities. They're not paid for out of the general fund. So as they went forward and spoke last night, they removed the customer service. They removed all but the signal, traffic signal maintenance. They added in the IT services, which is internet technology services, and then the developmental services, which is building and permitting center, will be looked at. Now, what they have done is they're just moving forward to look about putting an RFP, request for proposal, together to look to see how far they're going to go into this.
Okay. We got to take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk about, you know, we were talking about things for REU,
mm-hmm.
you know, initially, and we'll talk about why that kind of dropped by the wayside, I assume, and then these came up, and the impacts if this does go forward. This is Carl and DeBott. Linda's on assignment. Our guest is Gary Cadd. We're talking about what happened at the city council last night. We're going to be talking more about this privatization. KCNR 1460. Yeah, welcome back to KCNR 1460 and Free Fire Radio. Carl and DeBott. Linda's on assignment. It is 7:43 in the morning on April the 6th. It's 44 degrees out there. What's weather going to be like today there, Bad Bob?
Look for scattered showers today. High near 62. That will continue through this evening. Actually, mostly sunny today, then scattered showers this evening. I was looking one time segment ahead. And we got a possibility of thunder showers and 39 degrees, actually dropped off a little bit.
Wow.
Weather report brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
That's right. Great place up there. We were just talking that last advertisement I was just on was Linda. And I was sitting here berating Bad Bob, you know, I'm just teasing Bad Bob. And when Linda's voice came on, I jumped, because she was always getting after me to stop picking on Bad Bob. Bad Bob can handle himself, by the way. And Gary Cadd says, ha, 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 ha. Well, look what happened when your wife's voice came on. And he says, I know, because I do the same thing with my wife.
I do.
There you go. Okay, let's get back to privatization. Okay, there's going to be REU. Then they brought out the fact that, you know, jobs and REU, that comes out of another fund. It's not helping the general fund, even though they raid REU to put into the general fund.
This is true.
Well, you know, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now they're saying, okay, now we want to take out we want to save money within the general fund by privatization. And you said something about the IT.
The Internet Service
Techs.
Are also in public works, so the four that they had on there last night, the skill sets they had on there last night, of which is the customer service call and walk-in center. There's about 60 people in that, mostly very nice ladies, some of which I met when I was on the REU review committee here several years ago.
Yeah.
But by privatizing that group of people. We're saving money. We're saving money into REU, not saving money where we need the money.
Right, in the general fund. So that's why they're reaching out in these other places. But here's my question: that we need to save money, and I'm not against privatization if it's done correctly. But one thing is, and we're talking three. Didn't they say 300 jobs here? Was that? Well, where did I hear that number?
No, I think this from what they're looking at here, it was more like probably under 100 jobs they were looking at. If they go into departmental services or developmental services, excuse me, I'm not exactly sure how many people. I wouldn't even venture a guess, but it probably in the neighborhood of 50 jobs, something like that.
Uh-huh.
But these are building and permitting services as
well. Well, we're not doing any building permitting right now anyway. So
no, we just got through talking about that a few minutes ago on the fees.
But here's my concern. If the problem we're having is, I think the major problem we have in Reading is employment. And so we privatize it. Okay, we privatize it. You might be able to move some of the city employees around, whatever. If the jobs stay here in Reading.
Mm-hmm.
But if they talk about outsourcing these jobs, that's where I start to have a problem. Has outsourcing risen its ugly head?
Well, the outsourcing they were talking about as far as the customer service people, I think Minnesota was mentioned, I'm not mistaken. See, and that
Minnesota's going through a battle right now with their unions, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they are. And the thing with it is, Minnesota might as well be India as far as we're concerned here in the city, right?
Arizona, Nevada, Oregon, as far as I'm concerned, it leaves the city. There's something wrong here.
That's right.
It shouldn't even go to Sacramento.
That's right. These jobs need to stay here. You know, the real underlying problem is the general fund is in trouble.
Absolutely.
The city is in trouble. All right? We're wanting to save money. What we really need to do, and what the council's been asking to do, is we need to have the unions step forward and make concessions, especially start paying their portion of their CalPERS.
Okay. So this comes back again. This whole thing is based on let's go. It's the union and those battles there, right?
Right.
Okay. I understand that.
You can either do one of two things. You can either go out and make more money, which right now in this economy we can't do, or you can start making cut back and find ways of saving money. And we've got to be in the saving money area right now. This is where we're going to have to save it.
If we're trying to do $5 trillion in cuts at the national level, and we're trying to do $20 billion worth of cuts, and produce that at the state level. And we're here, we're losing, another $2 million a quarter?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like we have got to cut back someplace. And the question is which services are we going to be willing to cut? What organizations are going to be willing to say, okay, you know, we're going to take less money, you know, for the next couple of years, and we'll just bump it back up again? I mean, at some point, there's got to be a happy medium. I know We'll come back after these messages, and we'll get into that for our last segment, and we'll let you have the final word, of course. This is Carl Lindebott. This is KCNR 1460, and this is Free Fire Radio. Yeah, welcome back to KCNR 1460 and Free Fire Radio. Carl Lindebott. Linda's on assignment. It is April the 6th, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, Espresso Joe's, great coffee. And as it starts getting warmer, they also have ice drinks. They have those smoothies. They have it all there. And, of course, the finest walk-in humidor in the state. They have special cigars they set aside. You put them in a special area there and put great prices on them for those that enjoy. Being that enjoy a good cigar, there's nothing illegal about that, so there's nothing wrong with that, even though some people don't seem to like it. But Tobacco and Brew has great people there. They support our community. They've been in business for so many years, so many decades. They support the veterans. They support our community. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest is Gary Cadd. We're talking privatization. We're talking fees. And let's go to the phones. Pete, good morning. You are live on KCNR.
Yeah, good morning. I was real interested in listening to what you folks were talking about because I'm just in the middle of looking at building a house. And actually, as far as I can tell, the fees are really closer to $40,000 here in the city of Reading for something I'm considering doing. And that's before even a shovel hits the ground.
Now, hey, Pete, thank you so much for calling because you're in the middle of this right now.
Right.
Tell us some of the fees that are any of them surprises to you?
Well, yeah, some of them, I think just the water hookup is going to be close to about $9,000 just for the permits on that. I think the sewer is somewhere around $2,500, something like that. That's not actually for putting in. Those are just some of the permits, I believe. But the issue that I was getting at is that if you think about it this way, what it drives people to build more expensive homes. In other words, $40,000 against a $100,000 home is 40%, but if it was a $1 million home, it's obviously a lot less. So it creates a situation where you have a greater incentive to build more expensive homes. And at the same time, I believe, and Mr. Cadd might be able to address this, I understand they're talking about taking funds and building something like 800 low-income units here, I guess, in Burnie and around Reading and somewhat. And, I'd like to see people live in homes. People are living someplace right now. But it seems kind of ridiculous to be charging all these fees and then turning around and subsidizing the bottom end. And what you have, like in the neighborhood I'm in now, a middle-class neighborhood, more and more houses going into foreclosure. People are getting squeezed in the middle. I'm thinking if they made the homes less expensive, if there was less fees, it would be easier to build lower-income homes that people could buy themselves. It doesn't seem to make sense to me to be subsidizing the bottom end. If what I'm saying is making any sense here,
yeah,
Mr. Cadd can address that. Where I think the market-based solutions would be a little more sensible.
Well, Pete, the idea of for 1,800 square foot home, three bedrooms, two baths, $34,000, and you're saying really it's closer to $40,000, and that's in the town here. The other part about the low income housing, that's got to be built by a private entity. That doesn't mean that the state or the county or the city is doing that. One thing they're having to do there is set aside property as by a state law. But there's no eminent domain. There's nothing. They're just saying is that this is where we would put it. But it's going to take a private individual that comes in there and gets all the permits, gets all the environmental impact statements and all that to do it. So at least we don't get stuck on that. But the idea of paying $40,000 to build a home is way too much. But Gary, what about if it's a more expensive house?
Well, it's a more expensive house. The fees go up. Just like when you if you build a commercial building, depending upon your square foot is how large the fees are going to be. So, you must keep in mind also this money is, quote unquote, necessary. Maybe not at the elevated level it's at right now, but these fees are necessary for infrastructure, for roads, streets, curbs, sewer lines into new areas. So the fees are used in a direction to help improve the city as the city does build.
Yeah, but Pete, these are just fees to put it in. Then he has to pay to put it into the sewer lines. He has to lay all the lines himself and pay for that. Is that correct, Pete?
Right. What I'm looking at is a subdivision, buying a lot in an existing subdivision where the curbs and everything's already there. That's just the permits to hook up to everything.
Yeah. See, that's
the streets. It's all been paid for, you see.
And that's what I'm talking about. You know, those things are in there. Now, I can understand having a certain amount that's set aside for that, but, I mean, has the cost of living, has everything skyrocketed since 2000, when it was $8,800 for the same size house, to almost $40,000 now? I mean, I can't believe it's gone up that much unless... I mean, especially on existing property, if you're saying existing curbs and streets, I can understand, okay, here's a hookup fee. What I don't understand is an exorbitant hookup fee, which keeps people, you know, Pete's looking at it and going, well, you know what, I was going to do this and this, but now I can only do this and this, that kind of thing.
Well, there's one other thing. It's my understanding, among some of the contractors that are still left, it's not uncommon for some of them to actually hire somebody else just to take care of handling the permit process because it's so complicated. And I know I had one contractor tell me that, you know, you get all your papers in order, you go down and stand in line, you get there and you find out that, you know, one paper might have been out of date the day before and you got to start all over again. So there's an additional cost. Well, it may be a job for somebody, but it's an additional cost of the fee where they're paying somebody, a specialist, to handle just that.
Okay, we've got to run, Pete, but you know what? That's another show we're going to do because we have somebody, that's his job.
That's
a good point. Oh, no, Pete, thanks so much for calling. This is very topical right now. Yeah. Gary, right. I'm sorry, Gary, we're about to run out of time, so close this thing down.
Well, real quickly, the privatization is being driven off of saving money for the general fund. We don't have the money to pay for some of the services that we're doing. The one thing we need, public safety. Now, talking with Chief Hansen last night, we are down 21 sworn police officers. I call them pistol packers. From back in early 08. We're down 13 community service officers. These are the people that go around and take the reports when something has happened, when there's been a robbery. So then you turn around and the sworn police officers are going to have to take reports. So we're down sworn police officers, the pistol packers. We're down community service, public service officers. We're down one fire station, and we're down 13 police fire officers.
All right. Well, and speaking of police officers, we have Lieutenant Jeff Wallace is going to be joining us in this next hour talking about gangs. And, you know, what a great time to be talking about that Brown's talking about turning loose all these felons on us. This is Carl and the Bot, KCNR 1460, and this is Free Fire Radio.
Got lots more coming up next hour on KCNR Shasta Redding.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and the Bot. Linda's on assignment this morning. It's 8:05 on April the 6th. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. Looks like it could be changing later on. Bad Bob, what's the weather today?
Look for sunshine most of the day today. High near 62. Winds gusting as high as 23 miles an hour. Scattered showers this evening. Thunderstorms likely on Thursday. Right now, 40 degrees. Weather report brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Great place to go to. Great dinners. Well, I guess maybe I spoke too soon. It looks like things could be getting kind of hairy tonight. It's, 40 degrees out there right now? But yesterday was really nice, and I believe that we might have some weather today, at the end of today, maybe a little bit tomorrow. The weekend looks like it's going to be okay, and we're eventually going to reach spring or summer. We've got today our guest for this segment, for this hour, is Lieutenant Jeff Wallace of the Reading Police Department. And Jeff heads up their investigations division. So good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Hey, we're really glad you're here today.
No, thanks for having me.
You know, we'd set this up because you're very busy, and, you know, in our schedule we have here, we set this up a few weeks ago, and it just turns out that it was probably timely for this to happen.
Absolutely.
You know, we wanted to talk originally about gangs, and we will, but we also want to talk about this possible realignment. Is that what it's called, a realignment of prisoners? Or
yeah, I think the governor's overall plan is called a realignment. So, you know, changing some focus.
And we'll talk about that. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name's Jeff Wallace. I'm a lieutenant. I oversee the Investigations Division for Reading Police Department. I've been a policeman for a little over 20 years. I work at a couple different agencies. I've been with Reading Police Department for about 10 years now.
Okay, and what caused you, or what brought you to Reading, though? I mean, I'm sure that you had other places you could have gone to.
Yeah, well, you know, I was kind of a local boy. I grew up and born and raised over in Susanville.
Okay.
I started my career over there and moved to the Bay Area and worked for as a policeman for quite a while, and then relocated back to the North State to raise kids and, you know, have a family.
A lot of people do that.
Absolutely.
So a little bit of a difference between the Bay Area and here, then?
Yeah, a big difference. It's disturbing when you see similarities of problems that were there that are starting to arise here.
Really? Okay, let's talk a little bit about that. In what ways is that?
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier that we talked about discussing gang issues.
Right.
Some of the upstart of some criminal street gangs that, when they start out maybe in an infancy, and how they develop and how people are recruited and how a gang problem can get worse, we have some of those indicators here that are disturbing, and obviously we want to be, you know, on top of that and be able to stop that.
Okay, we're going to take a break a little bit early because I want to spend some more time. And let's talk about those indicators, talk about those things you're seeing. This is Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460, and this is Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 8:11 in the morning. It's April the 6th. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. Does a great job. He's a local. He's a veteran. He does great work. We use him at our house with Dish Satellite, and we've had no problems at all. And he don't call the 800 number. Call him at 244-1988. Call him at 244-1988. Let me say that again, because 800 number will take you out of state, and you'll have somebody from out there doing the doing your work here. We don't want that. We want a local guys. B&T Satellite, Doug Tooley, 244-1988. Now I'll try and get all that out straight. Now our guest, Lieutenant Jeff Wallace from the Reading Police Department. We're getting ready to talk gangs. We got somebody on the line. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Bad Bob and Linda in absentia. And, yeah, don't call the 800 number. Call Doug Tooley locally.
There you go. You know, it's local.
Okay.
You know what? It's all we're talking about is support our local businesses. You know, I think it's a fact that if you put in, like, $50 a month to a local business, you've made millions over the year. And, you know, if everybody does something like that, and it keeps the local businesses up. All right, John, you got a question
for
Lieutenant?
Okay, Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Listen, I've got a couple questions for you, and I was kind of glad to hear that you have done business down in the Bay Area with this, too, because some of the gangs that are down there are a whole lot more potent than what's here at the moment, not to say that that won't change. But as far as I know, we have Vagos and Hells Angels and Norteños and I think Cedeños up here, and the last two are more in relationship to the development of a drug culture up here of growing and selling and transporting. How are you guys dealing with this, and what can you do to put the skids on some of these groups?
Well, you know, we have a multi-pronged approach at doing some suppression and enforcement against the gangs. For about the last 9 years, Reading's headed the SAGE event, which is the Shasta Anti-Gang Enforcement Unit. We collaborate with 19 other agencies throughout the county. Obviously, you know, budget cuts and personnel kind of reduces some people's input at this time, but we do collaborate weekly. We do specific gang operations on a weekly basis. We go out and we target known gang members. We do probation parole searches, enforcement activity to try to gain intelligence and work criminal cases against those people. So that's one of the things we do. We have two full-time gang investigators with the city of Reading. We supplement with a couple investigators who are very knowledgeable through the California Department of Corrections. They work with a special services unit, and they're really highly skilled investigators. So they're a good nexus and resource for us as well.
Can I push this a little further on those last two that I mentioned, the Norteños and the Cedeños? I understand a good many of these are illegal immigrants.
Well, sometimes we do see that. It's Norteño and Sereño, and we really
Sereño.
so much when we do, you know, any kind of press releases or deal with these people, we really won't pay any homage to their gang names if we do anything in the media, because we don't want to give them any kind of legitimacy or build them up and let them want to read the paper and see their names. But we have gangs across, you know, all spectrums. We do have some outlaw motorcycle gangs. We have some criminal street gangs, any other, you know, racial demographics. And so we do have some problems.
Well, so often when we see these arrests, we see reference to the fact that they are here illegally, and yet there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of follow-up on getting them deported. Is there an issue with that, or why can't we get them out of our country?
Well, when we have illegal immigrants that are committing, you know, violent crimes or gang-related crimes, we work closely with ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement. We have good contacts with them. We have local agents here. They come out and participate in our anti-gang efforts. Sometimes they'll bring us targets to go and work on. So we work closely with them, and we have worked with them to deport numerous people.
And John, you know, we've had Sheriff and Chief Peter Hansen on, and they do, this is some of the things, these questions have come up, that they, as soon as they pick them up, they will be calling ICE guys. So, hey, John, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you so much for the time.
You bet.
Have a good day.
Thanks. Okay, Jeff, let's turn the break. We talked about the gangs and this, how, and the questions that John just asked. One of the things we talked about is out of area people coming in here.
Correct.
To group homes. Tell our listeners what you just told me.
Well, in the city of Reading, we have multiple group homes that are set up in residential areas. For anyone that lives in those areas, they're probably well aware that they're in their neighborhood.
And by the way, this is state licensed. The community and the city of Reading have nothing to say about these people coming in here.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
What we'll see is we'll have troubled teens from other communities, Contra Costa County, Alameda County, Stanislaus County, some of the bigger city areas within the Bay Area and throughout California. And a lot of these troubled kids will end up coming to Reading to these group homes. And many of these juveniles, although I couldn't talk about a specific juvenile, but many of them have violent histories, documented gang members, all sorts of violence, theft, drug abuse, you know, whatever you can conjure up, those criminal histories are present. They go to some of our local schools. A lot of them go to one of our local continuation schools. And we see a lot of education of our own troubled teens are in those school systems.
Can we just mention that school?
Oasis.
Yeah. Oasis.
School.
They go up, and I've taught there. I was a substitute teacher in Oasis. It's a tough place. But they, you know, they keep a lid on everything. But what we've got now, if I understand this right, is kids that are imported in to homes, group homes here, where people are making a profit off it, obviously. The community has nothing to say about these people coming in, these kids coming in, because it's a state law. And so then we send them to Oasis because they can't go to our regular schools. And then our own homegrown kids that are having a few problems are out at Oasis are now being brought up in a gang culture.
Yeah, they're being educated.
Educated.
We see it. We see it through graffiti and intelligence and issues and fights. And we have a school resource officer that works at Oasis, and Eric Harney, I'll pay him some homage because he works really hard up there, and he's really in tune with these kids and with the issues there, and he works hand-in-hand with our gang unit. But, yeah, we see it on a daily basis up there, and it's a real issue. That, you know, there's arrests at the school quite a bit, and we see a lot of that education of these younger kids. And, you know, it spreads. And one of the worst things you hear when people talk about gang members is, oh, these kids are just wannabes. Well, people need to understand in the gang culture, to get any type of status, they want to do something violent. They want to do something dangerous to get status within those cliques and those gangs. So wanting to be that, acting the part, taking on the colors and the graffiti, that's dangerous. And you could really, you know, establish some kids that are, you know, willing to do something really deadly in our community.
A wannabe can hurt you just as bad as a real gang member.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, and may want to because it gives them status.
They crave that. Absolutely.
Oh, we got to take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk about, you know, things that have... I want to talk about the gangs since then, since this has been happening, the results that you've noticed impact on our community.
Okay.
The Carl and the Bot, Linda's on assignment. This is Free Fire Radio. Yeah, I'm going to bang that drum all day. It's Carl and Linda Bot, Free Fire Radio, 8:21 in the morning, April the 6th. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and go to KCNR1460.com where we're streaming and chatting. Got a lot of people on here about locking people up. The temperature right now is about 40 degrees, and our guest is Lieutenant Jeff Wallace. He heads up the investigation division of the Reading Police Department. We're talking gangs, and we're talking about how we import people into our city to help build the gang system right here, and how we, as residents of this community, don't have anything to say about it, of course, because it's a state law, as I'm finding out, all these things. Now, we knew this summer, Jeff, that we had several incidents, and people being arrested, people getting shot, people getting beat up and shot at. But we haven't heard anything a lot since then. I know that most of these guys were picked up.
Yeah, we made numerous arrests throughout 2010 with the spate of gang violence that we had over the summer, and we did. We had some, you know, kidnapping and a shooting. We had a young lady that was shot and severely injured on Cypress Avenue. We had numerous other incidents of, you know, gang assaults, witness intimidation. We had a bad problem last summer that we put all our efforts forward into trying to stomp that out. And I think we were relatively successful in making a lot of arrests and taking some of the more poignant people out of those groups and putting some people in jail, so we stem the tide somewhat. One of our major contributors to all that violence, we ultimately convicted him in a jury trial of attempted murder, kidnapping, a gang-related activity. Well, he was out on bail and he fled during his jury trial, and he was convicted in absentia, and he's on the lam right now. He's on the run, and we're actively looking for him on a regular basis, but. You know, that's one of our issues too, is this guy being gone. He's still out and about, and he's a violent guy.
This guy, he was arrested. He was, you know, kidnapping, assault with a deadly weapon. I think all those. What could his bail be? I mean, his bail that he could reach. I mean, obviously this guy doesn't have probably a regular job.
He was in custody on $500,000 bail.
And he made it?
He made bail.
Okay. Now see, making bail means. How much? 50,000?
Well, you know, I'm not sure what he did. I know there was a large sum of money that was ponied up, and then maybe some other things to stand in for the money. But yeah, he came up with quite a bit of money and was able to get out. Attended most of the trial, and right before conviction, he fled.
Well, I wonder where a guy like that gets all this money.
You know, we have our suspicions.
Oh, okay. You know, this just sickens me. You know, things like this, but. We haven't been hearing about it, so obviously you all have gone after them big time, which is, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm sure 99% of this community is stomp the snake. You know, stomp the snake, beat it with a stick, cut its head off. We don't need it. But you're saying you were starting to see some signs. So.
We definitely are. The intelligence gathering and gang enforcement is so critical, and community involvement, reporting when they see suspicious things and gang graffiti, those types of things are so important. But our officers do so much gang intelligence, and what a lot of people may not realize about criminal street gangs is that a lot of them are driven and organized by prison gangs. Prison gangs have a direct nexus, and they orchestrate a lot of the violence and a lot of the activity that street gang members commit. And a lot of that's all in response to making money for the organizations. And it's basically organized crime within the penitentiaries, and they orchestrate the criminal street gangs, which we see and we receive that intelligence. So that's stuff we're actively working on as of today.
Well, you know, we've got a bunch of comments on here about stomping snakes and beating them with a stick and all that. Would you say that you are, the police department is reactive or proactive against going after these?
Oh, I would say we're absolutely proactive trying to stop this. With the development of SAGE, we have two gang grants that we've also attained through the state and through the federal government to help us in combating these gangs and working in partnership with, you know, Youth Violence Prevention Council, some of the other groups within the community, and all of our law enforcement agencies. But yeah, we work really hard for it. We go region wide, region 3, from Yuba City and Marysville all the way to the Oregon border. We try to help these other communities as well, because a county line doesn't stop gang members. Someone in Chico can obviously come to Reading and commit a crime and then go back to Chico, and we see that, and we deal with that thing, and we work closely with those guys. We've had our gang unit down last weekend in Chico helping, because they're having a horrendous gang problem. They've had homicides. And
well, you know, I think I've read that. Yeah, I've been seeing that, and they had somebody get shot right outside one of these one of the places downtown, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if that had to do with a gang or not.
Yeah, I know they've had at least two gang-related murders and some shootings, and we're trying to help them too, because there can be a nexus to Reading, and we do have criminals that go back and forth.
Well, you know, if you start pushing them out of one spot, this is one of the things we've learned in the military, is that we can control this area, but then we push them into somebody else's area. We've got to have those lines there that we can help out, and so we can stomp them from both sides.
Sure.
Younger gang members?
Yeah.
You seeing that?
We see kids from, 12, 13 years old getting started to doing violence. You look at the violence we had last summer, and we had two people that were ultimately arrested down in, I think it was San Joaquin County. I might be mistaken on that. But they went down and did a carjacking homicide when one of them was on the run here for a gang assault in a Circle K, the video that we were showing
quite a bit last summer. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and both of those kids were from Redding, and they went down to these other cities and ultimately did a murder, and they're facing the music on those now down there. So,
sometimes you just wonder about that. How does it just escalates? But one of the way it escalates is they've got to be taught. They've got to be around people that are telling them this is okay. I mean, their parents can try and fight it, but they're having problems. We put them into an environment where maybe that now they can get some really good scoop from people.
And we're getting intelligence now and regularly about. Redding is a desirable place for some of these prison gangs to set up shop for their street gangs, for drug trade, and it's not really heavily controlled by one gang or the other, so it's kind of an open market, and we're getting intelligence that they're actively trying to set up regiments of certain street gangs here in Redding, and we're combating that and working with CDC and other agencies, and we're working hard on it every day.
Do you actively go after the gang enhancements if you charge somebody?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. That was such another question.
That's a huge tool for us, and it really helps in sentencing. Once we get those gang enhancements established and get someone documented, it really helps us in prosecution.
I want to talk about gang enhancements, but how much time we got here, Bob?
A little over 2 minutes.
Okay, but we don't really have a lot of time to talk about that. But can you give an example, though, of a gang enhancement?
Yeah, once we go through a process where we document someone as a criminal street gang member, once we do that and we get all the criteria we need and they're established as a documented gang member, when they commit certain types of crimes, if it's for the benefit of the gang, when they're sentenced and convicted of those crimes, it can add severe penalty to their crimes. It can double sentences. It can do a lot of good for us. Up to certain crimes could go up to a life offense where it wouldn't be without a gang enhancement. So it's a huge tool for us.
Okay, so what would be, if somebody comes up and beats somebody up, and then you can add on to that, hey, by the way, he's a member of a gang, and this is some kind of gang initiation. But you have to link it to that.
Right. If we show that gang nexus and it's for the betterment of the gang or it's driven by the gang in any manner for status, for, rival gang, for money, anything like that, and we attach that gang enhancement, it severes the penalty.
And you prove that, too. And if all that is, of course, is part of the offenses,
absolutely.
You have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is a I realized that, what was happening last summer, and then you all took control of that right away, and now I'm starting to feel like we're keeping the lid on it right now, but it's going to take more. And when we're going to take a break from the news, when we come back, I want to talk about what can we do to, one is keep the lid on, what has to be done, what can the community as a whole do to help with
Absolutely.
This too, to help you all out, and and is there something we can do about these group homes that are importing criminals into the into our community?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back from the news, we're going to be talking to Lieutenant Jeff Wallace. He heads up the investigation division at the Redding Police Department. We're talking gangs. We're also going to talk about the realignment if more criminals come into town, and at the same time that we seem to be, we're cutting, taking cuts in public safety. This is Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. It's 8:30. This is Free Fire Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. It's 8:35 in the morning on April the 6th. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. They give great haircuts. They are not beauticians. They give great haircuts. They give a discount to veterans. DC Tim and a Man in Black. It's a great place to get your haircut. Good conversation, and it's man's last stronghold. I don't know. Are you familiar with this place?
I go there every couple weeks.
There you go. See, the police, the military, just going down. There's a lot of people. You have a great time down there, just talking with everybody. That's Cypress Square Barbershop.
If I could plug Tim and DC and the Man in Black, they made a donation. Our guys in the police department do Mustache March, and they'll have a little competition, and a big portion of their proceeds, everybody kicks in money, will go to local charities. And the Man's Last Stronghold kicked in, I think it was $250 toward that cause this year. So this, it was very nice. And they actually judged our officers and came up with a winner. So they were a big portion of our fundraiser.
Well, you know what? They support the communities. They support the veterans. You know, I can't say enough about them. I like them a lot, too. I'm just really happy that they've chosen to advertise with us. And so that's Cypress Square Barbershop. Okay, we just banned somebody off the chat room, and the reason we do that is his moniker when he came on was a profanity, and we don't do that.
One rule.
And it's just one rule, and be civil and no profanity like that. So our guest, Lieutenant Jeff Wallace, he's the head of the Investigation Division at the Reading Police Department. We were talking about we're seeing younger criminals, or seeing younger guys. We're doing that. A bunch of comments in the chat room is, how can we take back our neighborhoods? If you've got a group house that comes in there and it's all of a sudden it's causing problems, what can a neighborhood do?
Well, obviously, you know, we're not in the neighborhood as much as someone that lives there. So if you see problems, don't hesitate to call the police. If you see gang graffiti or indications of gangs, you know, groups, common colors, you know, that any type of thing that you think might be gang activity, please report it to us so that we have, you know, that information that we can look at, and we can target some of those areas maybe with some extra enforcement or extra patrol. I mean, intelligence is so crucial. So any input from the community is greatly appreciated. You know, some of the problems, if there's a group home and it's causing, you know, tons of problems in someone's neighborhood, you know, there's civil remedies for if something rose to the level of a public nuisance, you know, then a neighborhood would have that ability to use that type of process to maybe alleviate some types of problems.
Yeah, a public nuisance. But, you know, the one thing that the chief says, Chief Peter Hansen, and also Sheriff Tom Basinko, we have the eyes that you don't have in the neighborhoods, and we have a phone.
Absolutely.
And all we have to do is call. And that's part of your intelligence, but it also helps keep the neighborhood safer.
Right.
If we talk about we see things, we give you a call.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that you'll be able to get out there.
Absolutely. You know, public support and public, you know, reporting of these incidents generates a lot of our activity. So it's absolutely crucial for people to call in when they see these types of events.
Okay. We're talking about gangs, and we could talk all day about gangs, I'm sure. Other things that are coming up, or other things that you're noticing, maybe some trends that aren't as good as perhaps, something good we can hear about, but you're noticing right here in Reading.
You know, I think nationwide and absolutely here in Reading, we're kind of seeing the perfect storm right now with the economy and with, you know, budget cuts and jail closures and the potential realignment through the governor's office of releasing.
Yeah, I want to talk about that after the next break, and because that is potential to have a huge impact on us.
Yes, it does. So all those things coming together at the same time, obviously it generates a lot of criminal activity. When we deal with these criminals, it's disheartening at some points when you see, you know, people that are arrested for, you know, any number of felonies, and they're out within a half an hour because the jail's court capped, and they can't keep anyone without releasing somebody. So they're doing the who's most violent, and who's the most dangerous, and who can we keep and who can we let go. And that can be disenchanting when you see those people back out and they're getting arrested maybe for the same offense in the same day again.
Yeah, we've had some comments here. This one guy, he stole two cars. He was on different chases and was in the jail and out of the jail. Are the judges here, and I don't want to put anybody in report, but are the judges here have a tendency to keep them in, or is there some that are just kind of like you're so surprised if they turn them loose, those kind of things?
Well, you can see people that are potentially sentenced accordingly, but when they get to the jail, if it's a lower-end, say, felony, and someone's arrested and booked for a violent crime and they're going to be housed in the jail, you know, people with lower-end felonies are potentially going to get credit for time served and be released back into community because they don't have the room to house the people that need to be housed.
And who makes that decision?
Well, the jail's under a court order, a court cap on the number of people that they can keep.
Right.
So by court order, when they get to that decision, the watch commanders at the jail have to make those calls.
So it would be the county. The county has to make that decision. I bet that must be a tough decision.
It's a tough position for them, and people get frustrated, but they're in a very tough spot, and they have hard decisions to make, and they're under court order, so they don't have any wiggle room.
Okay. I'm going to take a break here. Our guest, Lieutenant Jeff Wallace, heads up the Investigation Division right here in the Reading Police Department. We've been talking gangs, been talking about the jail and people getting turned loose back on the streets and why that happens. We come back, let's talk about this potential realignment of prisoners and what impact that could have on us. I'm sure it's not a good one. This is KCNR 1460, and this is Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. 8:43 in the morning, and it's April the 6th, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. They do great work over there. Really friendly people. Espresso Joe's gives you the coffee you want. You can buy pounds of deluxe coffee beans there for really great prices. They are big supporters in our community, Joe and Shelley. They support the veterans. They support our community in so many different ways. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Our guest, Lieutenant Jeff Wallace, who is heads up the Investigation Division of the Reading Police Department. We've been talking gangs. We've been talking about people being able to get out of jail because they have a lesser, they're lesser bad guys than the ones they have to keep in there. Doesn't mean that they're not bad guys. They're just lesser bad guys. Now we want to talk about something I started off the program at about 7:10 this morning by jumping up and down and having a rant about Governor Brown and his realignment of the possible realignment of prisoners and bringing, you know, releasing, I guess it's almost like releasing thousands of prisoners back to the counties.
Sure.
Jeff.
It's a scary thought. Yeah. We have limited resources to deal with, you know, all the local issues that we have now, and not being able to house, you know, certain prisoners and dealing with the crime that we have, and that perfect storm that we discussed earlier before the break, and to release potentially several hundred sentenced inmates back into our community, one, we don't have the place to house them. Two, those people that can't be housed are going to be like the revolving door. They're just going to be released back into society. And, you know, the look at who's going to supervise these people if it falls upon, again, local agencies like county probation and parole isn't involved with that release. It's going to cause a lot more criminal activity for us, in my mind's eye, because those early releases, these are people that already have been to trial or pled guilty and have been sentenced and have put into the prison systems, and then just get the, you're released back into society without serving your full term. We're not going to be able to support that.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is which is kind of hovering out here on the right-hand side, well, I guess it could be left-hand side also, it's the, which it doesn't look like it's going to happen, is the extension of the vehicle licensing fees. That's going to cost the county of Shasta and the city police department like $3 million.
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact numbers, but it's a huge chunk of money if the VLF funds aren't extended.
So that's going to be interesting, too, to see what kind of funding is going to be substituted to come in here, because if we cut another $3 million out of the funding here, let's just say that the Reading Police Department, which gets part of these funds, it must get probably close to $1 million, I would imagine, but maybe less. But what would be another $1 million cut out of the funding there?
If it was...
I know this is probably, you know...
A little, you know, more of a chief issue, but I'll tell you, if we lost another $1 million out of general funding that went specifically to law enforcement, to public safety, you know, that could result in, you know, obviously numerous layoffs, and that could be a big hit for us.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's the fact is that Brown signed this bill and said they wouldn't implement it unless it has to go, I guess, to another committee for funding and all this thing. They don't have the funds for it. They won't implement it. So hopefully it won't happen, and that he's using this as a lever to get the Republicans to come on board and sign up for these other things. And you know, it's another scary thing of, you know, who's going to blink first, and the ones who end up, you know, getting it in the neck are us.
Right.
Downstream. The downstream. What was that, Bad Bob? Yesterday, the downstream providers.
Providers.
That's like downstream providers. You know, that we provide money for this, and yet we're still going to get it in the neck. All right. Okay. Gangs, getting people turned loose. The Realignment Act. What else?
Well, you know, we've talked about the economy and budget cuts, and our investigations division, you know, because that's where I'm assigned currently. Our investigations division is down to, you know, down to 11 detectives now, and it used to be, you know, numerous more detectives than that. I think we were at one point, I think we're at about 18 detectives, I believe. So that causes a larger workload on the detectives we have. It causes us to have to really prioritize cases, and, you know, we take everything. We want to be the full-service police department. We want to be able to do everything we can for the community. But when guys get overwhelmed with huge caseloads, you start looking at things and going, well, which one's more important? And you try to do them all, but sometimes you just can't because of staffing and because of the onslaught of the large caseloads that these guys get. And I tell you, I can't say enough about our detectives and the policemen in the city of Reading. We have some great personnel. We have some great officers.
And we're very proud of you all. We are.
And I'm sure proud of them. You know, I'm biased, but I'm very, very proud of them. And they do an outstanding job, and I witness it every day, and I try to pay them all the accolades I can because they do an outstanding job.
It is. You know, we're very proud of what you all do out there.
Thank
you. I know there's always going to be people that have a problem there. You know,
sure.
We're going to take a break and come back. You know, some cities have put in camera systems. I want to talk about that. If they think that could be an assistance, I mean, I know, again, that's, you know, we're talking chief position and all that, but you've, as an investigator, you've got to, like you said, prioritize things. So obviously, the more there is, the priorities be violent crimes, those kind of things. But what are also things that kind of just go by the wayside when you're down to 11 people? So people will understand this when we get back.
Okay
Carl, Linda's on assignment. Our guest, Lieutenant Jeff Wallace, he heads up the Investigation Division of the Reading Police Department. It is 8:49 in the morning on April the 6th, and this is Free Fire Radio.
Won't back down.
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, down. Carl Lindebot. Linda's on assignment, 8:52 in the morning on April the 6th. Our guest is Lieutenant Jeff Wallace, and he heads up the Investigation Division. We're talking gangs, we're talking realignment, we're talking people in and out of jail. I want to finish up here in the last two or three minutes here, Jeff, talking about just because we don't see gang activity doesn't mean that things aren't happening here. Can you explain a little bit about that?
We have cases on a weekly basis where our investigators are chasing those gang enhancement charges, and we're submitting those to the DA, and we're pursuing prosecution for gang-related incidents, whether it be at Oasis School or an incident on the street or someone intimidating a witness from another case where it's all gang-related. So it does occur more frequently than people hear, and you know, that's the essence of police work. It's not just the crime blotter in the newspaper on what's happening. A lot of things go unreported in the media because things happen, you know, every day, and our guys are looking at it hard. So there are a lot of gang issues still going on. The intelligence about, you know, people wanting to establish gang footholds in the Reading area because it's kind of untapped. We're working on that on a daily basis, and we're on that precipice of, you know, it exploding again with gang violence, and it could happen, and that's why our guys are working so hard.
So the big gangs are looking. I mean, when we say big gangs, you know, even a small gang's bad, but I mean, the big gangs are looking at Reading.
Absolutely.
And so, okay. So yeah, that's something that we have to, that's just a fact that
absolutely.
It's happening.
It is a fact, and we're working intelligence on those things on a daily basis and targeting these people. But, and all of our, you know, interviews and talking to other agencies and all of the intelligence work that we do, we see that that's happening, and they're actively trying to establish, you know, good foothold for criminal street gangs here, and it's our constant battle.
Is the whole thing underlined, is it drugs? Or is it just power?
I think drugs, power, money, all of those things play into it. And you get generational, you know, gang influence that want to continue and strive, but it all resorts back to money and power.
You know, I've heard that, is that it's not unusual to have third-generation gang members.
Not
you know, grandfather, father, son.
We're fortunate that we're not seeing too much of that here,
mm-hmm.
but other areas, and not far from here, are plagued with that.
So other areas that are plagued with it, and then we have, and then we import them and put them into group housing, and then put them into our school system. It's unusual how we do this to ourselves.
Yeah, it's scary.
It's based on profit because people make money off this, of bringing people in.
Yeah, they do.
I wonder if there's a way to publish their names on this. Just wondering. Anyway, okay. Last thoughts, sir.
Well, I would just, again, you know, continue to encourage the community to help us. report what you see. If you see things that you think need police attention or you're unsure, don't hesitate to call the police and ask. We have active gang enforcement details. We work throughout the region. We work in our city really hard. So all the support we can garner and all the help we can get from the community is greatly appreciated.
Well, if there's anything we can do here, and as Chief Hansen knows, he comes on once a month. We do updates. If there's anything we can do to get the word out, or if there's something you need to have, we've always got a radio station here. That,
right.
If it, especially when it's helping the community, which is what we are really into like that. Well, Lieutenant Jeff Wallace heads up our investigation division right here at the Reading Police Department. We're really glad that you came by today, and there was a lot of information. You know, some of the stuff we suspected, some of it that it's better than we thought. Especially in some aspects of the gang, mm-hmm. that, you know, you're on top of that with, and there's a lot of people that are helping each other out on that. The part about about people being turned loose, there's nothing I don't think we can do about this until it changes.
Yeah, that's a big anchor around our neck right now.
You know, I've got one little quick question here, too, is violence. We're seeing, it seems like violence across the nation
mm-hmm.
is picking up and directed at police officers and authorities. My son-in-law is a U.S. Marshal. They've had two or three U.S. Marshals killed mm-hmm. this year. Are y'all starting to notice that, too?
Absolutely. We're seeing this year alone, I know it's well into the mid to high 40s of law enforcement officers that have been killed nationwide, and that's well above the last year's number. So we're on pace for a really deadly year, and it is scary, and it's all that perfect storm that we've been discussing. And I mean, we've seen it here. You know, one of our own policemen was shot recently, and
yes.
A tragic event and some heroic actions by our officers. And again, I can't express how proud I am of those two people. But yeah, we're experiencing it, and we're seeing it, and it's a trend, and it's worrisome.
Yeah, you know, I think it was either Tom or Chief Hansen said that it's like it's almost they haven't seen a violence like this since the late 1960s when people were so angry.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's part of it, is this perfect storm, is they're angry because of jobs. They're angry because of they don't see changes. They're angry because there's no way
yeah.
that they see that's going to end right now. And so people are starting to just get more violent.
Right. A lot of anger toward government in general.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and in some ways, you know, you can understand the anger, but when it goes to violence, that's got to be stopped. I mean, you can have anger in the sense yeah. of being able to want to change things.
Absolutely. It's being directed in the wrong avenues.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, again, thank you very, very much for being here.
Thank you for having
today.
Me.
Tomorrow, our guest host, and he will have the show, is Bruce Ross. And Bad Bob's going to be kind of like in control here. And then on Friday, yeah, I know, and Friday we have Kurt Largent and Ruth Angel, who have a Saturday show here. But we want to have them come in on Friday. We're also going to have Honor Flight. They're going to come in and talk on Friday. Tomorrow we're talking about kids and sober grad, and we're talking about just a number of different things. But Bruce Ross tomorrow, and he's got some people going to be talking on government. And then on Friday they're going to be talking about, guess what, group homes. I think that's one of the things they're going to be talking about, is, you know, the rights of individuals in the community. So we will be back on, of course, back here on Free Fire Radio on Monday.
Taking a well-deserved break.
Well, we're just going to take a break. We're going to be hanging around. But, you know, we're trying to catch up on a lot of things. But we appreciate everybody in the chat room and all this and listening today and every day. Starting next week, we've got Cool April Nights every day is Cool April Nights, and next Thursday at Anselmo's, we're going to have a big party out there and a show and shine. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, this is the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Thank you for listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.